little hymn. I think we sang it this morning. Number 165. Jesus, how much thy name unfolds to every opened ear. The pardoned sinner's memory holds none other than so dear. Thy name encircles every grace that God as man could show. There only could he fully trace a life divine below. We'll sing verses 3, 4, and 5 of hymn number 165. Jesus is peace, a life of love, of sorrows deeply born. It tells of sympathy. Subject of the name of the Lord Jesus. It's very, very precious to our hearts in the remembrance of the Lord. And we had that ministry too, exercise our souls. So I'd like to just follow that a little bit tonight, and we're going to turn to the book of Acts and look at a few of the instances early in Acts where we have the name of the Lord and some of the things that are connected with that wonderful name mentioned. Let's turn to Acts chapter 2. These are all very, very well-known passages, and so we will not read much of the passage, but a little bit to get the connection perhaps, and then seek the Lord's help in considering it. So in Acts chapter 2, Peter is speaking to those who had seen this wonderful display of power there on the day of Pentecost, and it's the first gospel message, you might say, in a sense, preached, at least the first one recorded, I should say, after the church has been formed in the book of Acts. And I think that the name of God or the name of the Lord is referred to 30 or 35 times in the account of this message that is being preached here to these Jews who had seen something that had stirred their hearts, and they didn't understand what was going on. And so Peter preaches by the power of the Spirit of God a mighty gospel message. But in the midst of this message, he says this in verse 16, verse 15, these are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And he goes on to describe that, and then goes down into verse 20, describing by the Spirit of God, at least for our record here, what Joel prophesied. In verse 20, the sun shall be turned into darkness, the moon into blood, before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so we have here a mention of the name of the Lord and what is connected with the name of the Lord. And what's connected with it here is salvation from coming judgment. The day of the Lord is going to be a time of fearful wrath and tribulation in this world. And it's a time that is surely going to come. Men might seek to put it out of their minds and their hearts and seek to live as though there were no God, or that God has nothing to say to this world, which is guilty of the blood of His beloved Son. But there is a day of the Lord coming, in which there's going to be a tremendous judgment, a most solemn judgment that's going to happen in this world. And so this message goes out to these people that were there. They had seen a demonstration of some of the power of God, and it caused them to wonder. Some of them were mocking, but some were in earnest wondering. And so the name of the Lord is held up to them, and whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Well, that's where it starts, and we want to start with that tonight. Just a simple fact stated on the basis of the Word of God. The Lord Jesus has come into this world. He's gone to the cross. He shed His precious blood. He was almost, I think, indescribably, though we have some description of it, treated by the wicked hearts of men. We dare not point the finger, for our heart is every bit as bad as the hearts of those who mock the Lord Jesus and spit in His face. What a awful, awful thing this world has to answer for the treatment that it heaped upon the blessed head of the beloved Son of God when He was in this world. And God is not going to let that go unanswered. You know, the blood that the Lord Jesus shed at the hands of men who beat Him and smote Him, put that crown of thorns on His head, smote Him on that crown of thorns, all of those awful things, the scourging that He received, that drew forth blood from the Lord Jesus. But that blood that was drawn forth in those awful, awful, insulting, horrible things that man would heap on his Creator, that blood is crying for vengeance. And God is not going to let that go unanswered. There's a day of reckoning coming when this world will answer for what it did to the blessed Son of God, its Creator. But then when He hung on that cross, and God, as it were, darkened the scene for those 3 hours, and He would cry out after that, my God, why hast Thou forsaken Me? And then He dismissed His spirit, willingly gave up His life, and that spear was thrust into His side, and then came out blood and water, and that blood that was shed that tonight there might be blessing to each soul in this world that turns in faith to trust it. Well, a day of judgment is coming. A day of reckoning is coming. This world will answer for what it did. It's an awful day. This is particularly talking to the Jews. But we want to just simply in the gospel meeting tonight draw this picture. There is a day of judgment coming in this world. And what will save you and save me from that day of judgment is calling on the name of the Lord. What a blessed thing to do tonight by faith, to simply call on the name of the Lord, the one that is, you might say, going to bring that judgment, and righteously so, tonight, to call on Him for salvation. And that day it will be too late to call on Him for salvation. It's going to be a day of judgment. Tonight, you and each one here, if anyone here does not know the Lord Jesus as Savior, tonight is the night that you can call on that name, the name of the Lord, to be saved. Well, then we'll go on in the same chapter, and Peter continues his message. I want to say there are many, many references in the early chapters of Acts, perhaps all throughout Acts, to the Lord's name. Sometimes it's the name of the Lord. Sometimes it's the name of Jesus. Sometimes it's the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. But that name is held up many, many times in the book of Acts. We're not going to begin to look at all those names. But we will look at this next one in verse 38. Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the Holy Ghost. Well, the name of the Lord in the first instance was that which delivered from judgment. Tonight we want to just consider this blessed person, the Lord Jesus Christ, his wonderful name, and the different things, the different kinds of blessing, you might say, the different ways of blessing that his precious name brings, that each of our hearts might be more attracted to him. You know, it's wonderful. I want to just say this before I leave that first passage. It's wonderful and peaceful to know that you and I are safe from coming judgment, from God's righteous judgment. But there's so much more. There's so much more to the name of the Lord Jesus. So much more to that wonderful person. He doesn't only want to save you and save me from a lost eternity so that we say, well, I'm so thankful I'm not going to end up in hell. Well, that's a wonderful thing. It's the common lot of men who go into eternity lost in their sin. That is where they're going to go, to that awful place which was created for the devil and his angels. And men who reject Christ, who reject God's offer of salvation, if they die in their sins, that is indeed where they will too go. But you know, our God is so rich and infinitely desiring our blessing. And the wonderful person of the Lord Jesus, not only does his blessed name save from judgment, there's so much more. And tonight, one is just speaking so feebly, but we'd like to just encourage our hearts to see how much more there is connected with the name of the Lord Jesus, with the name of the Lord. Well, here's something that's connected with it. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. Repent and be baptized. You know, there's judgment coming. To call on the name of the Lord is to be safe from that judgment. But this is a step further, because upon repentance and that outward sign of repentance, there was going to be something that these Jews would receive. They would receive remission of sins, and they would receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Just think of that. What is connected with the name of Jesus Christ? It's a name that ought to cause us to bow, each of us, in repentance when we realize that this one, Jesus Christ, the man, walked in this scene fully to God's glory, every step of his way, perfect as a man, very God and very man. And so there ought to be within our hearts, as we think about this wonderful name, really a work of repentance in our souls. It's repentance by faith, but repentance and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. What an important thing. You know, I just want to say that at least that for the Jews, and we have to see it in that character, if they did not take that position in baptism for the remission of sins, whatever they said was meaningless. They had to leave that ground that they occupied as Jews, and they had to take a new ground. And it was entered by repentance, and it was entered by baptism in the name of Jesus Christ. And when they did that, there was remission of sins, and there was the gift of the Holy Ghost. What a wonderful thing to connect with the name of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit. And it's so. And so tonight, we just want to say that that can be so, and we trust it so with each of us, to realize not only that we are to repent for what we have done, to repent because of what God has said we are, to repent for what we are before God, but in doing so in the name of Jesus Christ, to do it in view of that one. That's the reason for repentance. It's not repentance like Judas, or repentance like others who got caught and were sorry that they got caught. That's not the repentance we're talking about. But this is repentance in the name of Jesus Christ, a real thing, a real work in the heart. And the result is a gift of the Holy Spirit. Well, let's go on. Down in chapter 3, it says, then Peter, this is the story of the lame man who was begging there at the gate of the temple, and Peter and John are going in, and he begs from them, and Peter says, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Well, we've seen that the name of the Lord brings safety from coming judgment. The name of Jesus Christ, when repented in that name, when there's repentance, true repentance in that name, in view of that, brings this wonderful gift of the Holy Ghost. And now we see that there is a wonderful ability granted to be able to walk in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And you know, there's something added now. It's his name as he was lowly, despised by the Jews. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Well, here's something infinitely good that came out of Nazareth. And it was in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, that despised place, that despised name, that despised place, that this man was given the ability to walk. And so tonight, would you walk in this scene to the glory of God? Would you walk without stumbling? Would you walk without walking in darkness? Well, the way you're going to have to do it is to become connected with what this world despises. You're going to have to become connected with a person that this world hates, has no time for, has no love for, and despises. If you're going to walk in this scene in life and in happiness and without stumbling, you're going to need to be connected with that one, that blessed person who bears the name Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And to walk in that despised way is to walk truly without stumbling, to have the power and the ability to walk. This man stood up and he was leaping. It wasn't a slow, gradual change. There was an immediate change in his life because of the name, this despised name. And it was despised because the world would rather try to use silver and gold for its method of walking through this world. It doesn't want to turn to the Lord Jesus to walk by faith with him. It says, if I have silver and gold, I can meet my needs. And the world stumbles along with its silver and gold, crippled, unable to walk, and at the same time despising the one who, would they turn to him in faith, to his blessed name, they would walk. We've said it before, we'll say it again. We sometimes, many of us here have visited there in the nursing home. And you see two classes of people there, those who have spent their life seeking to walk with silver and gold through the power that silver and gold provides, and you see some there who are still walking, but they've been walking with the power that the name Jesus Christ of Nazareth has provided them. And those that are walking with faith in that blessed name, though they may be sitting in a wheelchair over there, they're walking in joy. They're not stumbling. They're not unhappy. They're looking for the Lord and waiting for the Lord, and they have joy. And those who have sought to walk with the silver and gold, the possessions of this world, they have nothing, because the silver and gold isn't giving them now the ability to rise up and walk in faith, either out of that home or to walk home to the Father's house. It can't do it. And so this blessed person tonight, though he's despised in this world, don't despise him, my friend. Don't despise him. Put your faith and trust in him, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. That's what the world, they could care less about him. But he and he alone is going to give you and going to give me the ability to walk through this world without stumbling. You know, we won't, but just read it in passing over in chapter 4 and verse 10. The elders are very upset, and they say in verse 7, by what power, by what name have ye done this? And so Peter brings home to their consciences what should have been a very, very solemn message. Be it known, verse 10, unto all the people of Israel, but that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified. Well, there's the estimation of the world. Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified. Tonight, my friend, you stand either with these who are guilty of the death, the crucifixion and death of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, or you stand with the rest of that verse, whom God hath raised from the dead. Whom God hath raised from the dead. You either stand with the world that's guilty of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, or you stand by the grace of God and by faith in Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the one by whom he raised from the dead. God who raised him from the dead. Well, down in verse 30, it says, let's start reading in verse 25 to get the connection, or verse 24. This is the company Peter and John come after they've been threatened, the believers, and when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God. This is the whole company now lifting up its voice in prayer and praise to God. And what they say, we're going to look at in verse 29. And now, Lord, this is part of their prayer, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy, that should read servant, by the name of thy holy servant, Jesus. Well, it's wonderful to realize that Jesus, that holy thing born into this world there in Bethlehem's manger, came to serve. The Son of Man came to minister. He didn't come to be ministered to. He didn't come to be served. He came to serve you, to serve me. What a blessed thing to realize that name of thy holy servant, Jesus. You know, perhaps there are those who would seek in their life to serve God. They may have some sense of God and some sense of desire to please God, and so they may put their life, spend their whole life seeking to be a servant of God without ever having come by faith into the presence of God's holy servant, Jesus. And it's through that one, that holy servant, that one, we read of him as a servant there in Mark, in his perfect service to the Father. It's through that one that such wonderful signs, wonders, powers are done. Do we see those today? Do we see power and signs and wonders done in the name of this holy servant, Jesus? I think we do. I don't think we see the character of signs and wonders that they saw, but I think we see wonderful, amazing miracles. When a soul lost in sin turns to the Lord Jesus, accepts him as Savior, and that soul is saved from a lost eternity, put on the road to glory, turned from darkness to light, given life that was before dead, can you think of a greater miracle than that? If some of these signs that happened here were to be able to be done before our eyes, and someone could reach out and touch a man like the Apostle Paul's garment and be healed from a terrible disease, is that a greater miracle than a soul dead before God, a person on their way to a lost eternity, to hear the gospel and to be saved and to become a child of God and to be saved for all eternity? Is there something greater than that? What a service the Lord Jesus is providing tonight. In the name of thy holy servant Jesus, he's here tonight to serve you. We read that in Philippians, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. Thy holy servant Jesus, what a name, what a person to be connected with tonight. One who occupied the very highest place in glory and willingly emptied himself and took the very lowest place in this creation, even that insulting, horrible death of the cross. In a place no lower could man go than what this holy servant, Jesus, the divine, eternal Son of God, went. And tonight, he is here now, and if you will put your trust in him, you will see in your life, you will see signs and miracles. Not perhaps, I say, as a character that we have here early in Acts, but you'll certainly see, as each one of us can attest to, the workings and the ways of God in grace and love and wonder in each of our lives. Chapter 8. You know, there was a people that claimed a place of favor as Jews. They were called the Samaritans. They really had no right to claim that place. And the Jews, though it was national pride and haughtiness, they despised them. But they were right in this, at least. The Samaritans really did not have the claim upon God's blessing and favor that they didn't really have that, that they claimed to have. But now this wonderful gospel message is reaching out beyond the Jews. And Philip, the evangelist, goes down to Samaria, the capital, and he preaches Christ unto them. And this is wonderful. It says in verse 8, there was great joy in that city. There was great joy in that city. And then in verse 12, just these words, when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. When they believed the things concerning the kingdom of God, you know, this was, they laid claim, you might say, to an earthly kingdom that they had no right to. They laid claim to that Jewish, the blessings of the Jewish nation. The Jewish people were looking for their Messiah to come and set up a kingdom in this world. The Samaritans said, that's what we're going to have part of. They didn't have part of it. They had no claim to it. But isn't it wonderful that the name of Jesus Christ is connected with good news? The bad news for the Samaritans was they didn't have any right to, no more than the Gentiles did, to claim of God's favor as children of Jacob. They weren't. They were by the whim of an idolatrous Gentile king who had overthrown the 10 tribes of Israel and carried them away captive. They were sent into that land to populate that land. And so they took up with the worship of the Jews. It's quite an interesting story because they brought their idolatrous worship into the land. And God allowed, I believe it was lions, to come in among them and to destroy some of them. And so they go and get a priest of the tribes that had been carried away. And he comes back and he teaches them the religion of the Jews, you might say. So they end up worshiping their idols and worshiping Jehovah. And as time went on, they laid claim to being God's people. But now good news has come. Good news has come that even though they had no right to claim anything from Jehovah of his favor, that there was a kingdom that they could enter into, and it was connected with the name of Jesus Christ, the kingdom of God. And there was something open to them in blessing now, and they received that message. It was good news. I tell you tonight, it won't be always this way, but tonight, the name of Jesus Christ is connected with good news. And if you, by faith, lay hold of that blessed name tonight and appropriate by faith that blessed one and what he has done for yourself, it's only good news. The bad news is that a day is coming when that name, Jesus Christ, will no longer be bringing blessing. It will bring judgment. When the day of grace is closed and the Lord Jesus has called home His beloved bride and the gospel of grace is no longer preached, those who have rejected that message, there's no longer going to be any hope for them. And it's not going to be a message of good news. It isn't going to cause great joy in the city then. It's going to cause terror and sorrow. And they're going to cry out to the mountains and to the rocks, the wrath of the Lamb. It's going to be a time of terrible sorrow and judgment. But tonight, for those who have no claim on God's favor whatsoever, that blessed name of Jesus Christ, there's a wonderful message of good news connected with it. Will you accept that message tonight? Let's go over to Acts chapter 9. Now we have someone coming on the scene who is one of the most, perhaps the greatest enemy of this name until this blessed one, the Lord Jesus in glory, touched him and brought him down on his face on the way to Damascus. The Saul of Tarsus, you wouldn't have been able to find perhaps a more energetic enemy of those who bore the name of Jesus than Saul of Tarsus. But he's brought down and he's humbled and he gets a view of who it is that he has been persecuting. And by the grace of God, he's turned from that path. And now there's something very different that he's proclaiming. It's beautiful to see. And I think it's very significant, though it's not the intent of what we're saying tonight, but it's very significant to see what Paul preaches in verse 20 of chapter 9. And straightway he, that Saul of Tarsus, who later became Paul, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. What a marvelous vision was given to Paul. What a marvelous message was given to this man by that view of Jesus in glory that he saw on the way to Damascus. But down here he's going to Jerusalem now in verse 27, and it says, but Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. And he was with them coming in and going out at Jerusalem, and he spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus. And that perhaps is best translated just in the name of the Lord. So there we have it. Here the name of Jesus, the name of the Lord, is connected with a boldness to proclaim His name and testimony. What is your life giving testimony to tonight? What's your life giving testimony to tonight? What's my life giving testimony to? Is it giving testimony to Jesus, my Lord? Is your life giving testimony that you know Jesus as Lord? And are you giving that testimony in the face of those who hate that blessed one? That's the world in which we live. And, you know, Saul gave testimony. He preached boldly in the name of Jesus. What happened when he preached boldly in that name? What happened when he preached boldly in the name of the Lord? It wasn't only the name of Jesus that this one hung on the cross, this Jesus of Nazareth, was indeed the Son of God, but he preaches boldly in the name of the Lord. That is, that this was the one to whom those Jews must bow the knee. You know, it says, I think it's in Romans, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. In Philippians, it's every knee should bow and every tongue should confess. And so it's our privilege and joy to own Jesus as Lord and to bow our knee before Him as Lord and confess Him as Lord. That's a privilege now. Why is it a privilege? Because it's done in a scene that hates Him, that despises Him, and that if you confess Him as Lord, if I confess Him as Lord, if my life is a confession that Jesus is my Lord, I'm going to find, and you're going to find what it is, to have a problem with those that are called the Grecians, that is, those Greek Jews They wanted to kill Paul. They didn't want Saul. They didn't want his they didn't want his Savior, and they didn't want his testimony. And so tonight, there's a privilege that we can and ought to bow our knees in worship and praise to Jesus our Lord. But the day is coming when every single soul that has ever walked the face of this earth will bow. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. It's not should, it's shall. It's going to happen. But it won't have the joy and privilege connected with it that we have tonight of bowing in worship and praise to that one who is so worthy. There will be a bowing and an owning of who he is, but it will be to bring judgment instead of bringing joy. Tonight, to bow and worship him, beloved friends, is going to bring joy, and it's going to bring joy to his heart, and it's going to bring joy to our heart. And so Saul preaches Jesus in the name of Jesus. He disputes boldly or preaches boldly in the name of Jesus. I don't know of any other way to go through this world. It's a fearful place to walk through. And if you and I are going to have any kind of boldness to walk through this world, it's not going to be through any power or strength or any ability of mine. Do you know the name of some man in this world tonight that you want to bear through this world that will always get you, always take care of you, always put you on the just the right path, always see to your needs, always protect you, always do the very best for you? Is there some human living in this world tonight that you will align your name with? Yeah, I think it's interesting. I'm seeing it more and more. Even up at DMAC, I thought this was something that was just perhaps for junior high and high school. You see kids wearing these jackets from professional athletic teams. And you see it up at school and you see older people wearing it. They want to be connected with a name. And the folks live across the street from us there in their front yard. They've got a sign. It says, Kansas City Chiefs fans live here. You know, it's to my shame. I wish I had the courage to put up a sign saying, a Christian lives here. If I can say it reverently, a fan of the Lord Jesus Christ lives here. He spoke boldly in that name of Jesus. Well, that's a name that gives boldness, and we can get boldness, although if you're like me, you've got to be one of the greatest cowards in the world. But I tell you, there's no other name that I know that is worthy of bearing through this world. And not only no other name as Jesus and all that he is and all that he's done, but to bear him as Lord, to own him as Lord. Is there someone that you want to bow before tonight and say, I owe my allegiance to that individual? Is there a political party that you want to owe your allegiance to? Is there a cause you want to owe your allegiance to? I want to tell you, the only worthy one to owe your allegiance to is the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what it's going to cost you to own him as Lord? And what it's going to cost me to own him as Lord? Is there that this world is going to seek to put us to death. Perhaps in this country, not physical death, but they're going to seek to get rid of that testimony. They don't want it. And so these wanted to get rid of the testimony of Saul, who spoke boldly in the name of the Lord. Well, I think there's perhaps just one other one we want to look at tonight. Chapter 15 of Acts. I think it's fitting. I don't say that this is the last time that the name of the Lord is mentioned. In fact, I know it's not. But I think it's fitting to see how it ends, at least in our little meditation tonight. The church has been formed. Not only the Jews and the Samaritans brought in as Christians brought into that church, formed in that church, but the Gentile church in Antioch has been formed, and so you might say you have the full character of the church of God, Jew and Gentile alike, members of the body of Christ in Acts 15. And this is just lovely to consider. There had been a problem, and so they go up to Jerusalem from Antioch to maintain the unity and the peace among the brethren. And the Lord works mightily and gives them an answer. And so they go back to Antioch with the answer that's going to bring peace now to the brethren there in Antioch and establish them. And it says here in verse 25, they write this letter. It seemed good unto us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men unto you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul. Those are the two that had gone up from Antioch, and here they come back, and they come back with other brethren from Jerusalem to confirm their word and confirm the letter. It's a beautiful display of unity. And they come back, and it says, men that have hazarded their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Men, in Mr. Darby's translation, it says, and I just, beloved friends, I don't know how to speak adequately about this. It says, men who have given up their lives for our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, that blessed name, that blessed person who bears that name is a place of safety and refuge from judgment. He's so much more than what we could possibly have the ability to talk about tonight. Joy and good news, the gift of the Holy Spirit, so much connected with that blessed name. Is he worthy of you giving up your life to bear that name? He's worthy. How feebly one does it, but I tell you, he's worthy to lose our lives in this world for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He gave up everything for me at Calvary's cross. He's the full, I can't quote it, but it uses a word that we never use, but I think it's a neat word, effulgence. The effulgence, the full display of the glory and majesty of the Father, of God the Father, of God, the full display there in the Lord Jesus Christ. The worthy object of all heaven, the object that all heaven tonight is looking at, enjoying, and glorying in. Are there men and women tonight in this room who can get a, by faith, a little view of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ and say, he's worthy for me to give up my life for that name? It's the only name that's worthy to do that. There are men who give up, and I want to be careful now as I say this, but there are men who give up their lives for General Motors. There are men who give up their lives for the Republican Party or the Democratic Party. There are men who give up their lives for higher institutions of higher learning. There are men who give up their lives for all sorts of causes. There are men who give up their lives to serve as mighty generals in armies and air forces in the world. There are men who give up their lives for all sorts of causes. And they are looked up to and considered that's a wonderful thing to do. To give your life to serve in that way, although it's not looked as service perhaps, but that's what it is. It's giving up a life for something. I tell you tonight, there's one object that fills all of glory, one person that fills all of glory that's worthy of your life, and only one. Men that have given up their lives for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, a name above every name, a name at which every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. That name, that one, is the only one who's worthy that you and I might lose our lives for his blessed name. Let's pray. Our God and Father, we thank thee for the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee, blessed Savior, for thyself. We just pray that our hearts might be stirred tonight as we think about who thou art, what thou hast done, the glories and beauties of thy name. And, oh, blessed Lord Jesus, we pray that it will become increasingly precious to our hearts, thyself, thy person, thy blessed name. We ask this as we give thee thanks, Father, in his worthy and precious name. Amen. I might just mention, the disciples were first called Christians at Antioch. everybody today can carry the name of Christian. That's no despising connected to that. But that name at Antioch, when they were first called Christians, that was the name of great insult. If you wanted to really insult someone in that time at Antioch, that idolatrous Gentile city, you looked at him, you pointed your finger, and you laughed and said, "There's a Christian." And it was a name that carried a real despising with it. Let's be willing to really carry the name of Christ as Christians in this world.